talking about end time prophecies. And there are several different things we've been discussing throughout this study. We're looking at, first of all, the promises that God has given concerning what's going to take place when He comes, those promises that await us. That, by the way, we should be looking forward to, right? Okay? We're also looking at what are some of the signs that indicate that He's coming. What are some of the things to be looking for and to preparing for? And then also the anticipation of those of us who are waiting for the Lord to come back again. Are we anticipating His return and really looking forward to that? We'll talk more about that in the next lesson next week, that looking forward to it. But it's the anticipation. Can't wait till He gets here. Okay, are we looking for Him? We're going to have problems with this thing again. The prophecies, one of the two things that we've been looking at through this study, what do the prophecies tell us? Okay, first of all, they talk about and tell us what His coming will look like. So when the Lord comes back again, what is that going to look like? And we've seen, talked about several things where people talk about it's going to be this secret event and one person's going to go and the other person won't know whether they're gone and why and all those kinds of things. What is His coming actually going to look like when it happens? And then secondly, what will happen? What are the events that will unfold when He does come back again? So those are the two primary things that we're looking at in this study. We began in looking at three questions that the disciples asked Jesus when Jesus, in Matthew 24, recorded for us, when Jesus spoke about the destruction of Jerusalem and that there would be no stone left unturned. The disciples asked Him three questions. We went through those questions and talked about those. And last time, we talked about this prophecy that was intended to give us great hope, that we are to look with hope and anticipation at the return of Christ. So today, in this lesson, we're going to be talking about what I'm referring to as a resurrection event. Okay? When the Lord comes back again, that will be a resurrection event, okay? We've seen a little bit of this already in talking about what people refer to as the rapture and the dead in Christ rising and then those who are still alive being called up. It's going to be a resurrection event. Well, what does that really mean? What's going to happen? And more importantly, to say, well, when we have this resurrection, what are we going to look like? Now, in the last lesson that we did, we looked at this particular verse in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul talks about the fact that there will be a resurrection, because there were many of his time, those who were believers, that did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe that people were actually being raised or going to be raised from the dead. And so he spends a lot of time just simply laying down a foundation that indeed there will be a resurrection from the dead. So he said this, "If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" And that was the problem. There were those who were saying that. He says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then he outlines three things that we need to consider. If there is no resurrection, here's three things to consider. First of all, then not even Christ has been raised. If there's no resurrection, then Christ himself hasn't been raised from the dead. Okay? He says, and if Christ has not been raised, all right, then our preaching is useless. What he's been doing and really what I've been doing is useless. There's no point in it whatsoever if there is no resurrection. And then the third thing he says, so is your faith. In other words, your faith is useless. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ hasn't been raised, and you and I aren't going to be raised either, then it's all for nothing. Okay? Now, we're going to continue looking at the things that he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 concerning this resurrection from the dead, okay? Beginning in verse 20, he goes on to say this, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Okay? In other words, he's the first one. Now, not the first one that has been raised. We read through the Gospels and see there have been many people that Jesus himself raised from the dead. But he is the first fruits, that is, of those who have been raised to glory. Okay? They were raised from the dead, and they lived physically for a little bit longer, but eventually they died again. Okay? When people talk about it, they say, well, you know, what about this? What about Lazarus? He was raised from the dead, but where is he? Well, he died again. Okay? And so Lazarus is one of those people that we read about and studied about last time who is dead in Christ, who we will get to see rise up when the Lord comes back again. Okay? But Jesus died and rose again, never to die again. And so therefore he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Okay? And he goes on to say then, "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man." That is, through Jesus Christ. "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." That is, through his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? "But each in his own turn." Remember, last time we talked about first things first. We have to wait our turn. Okay? Christ was first. All right? He is the, there it is again, the first fruits. All right? So first him, and we take our turn after him. Then look at what he says. "When he comes." All right? And that's what we're talking about. When the Lord comes back again, the second coming, when he comes, those who belong to him. Who does that include? Us-ins. We-ins. You and me-ins. Okay? Say it like you mean it. All right? It includes us. All right? He's going to come back to get us, and we get to be raised again. If we're already dead, we're going to rise from the grave, and we get to go first, don't we? The dead in Christ will rise first, Paul said. We looked at that previously in our study, all right? So that's talking about us, those who belong to him. He went before us, but when he comes back, then those who belong to him will get to go with him. All right? Doesn't that sound great? Amen. Okay, now, verses 24 through 28. Look at this next part. He says, "Then the end will come." Which end? Well, the end that we've been talking about through this whole study, right? The end of time. The Lord is going to come back again, all right, to take us to be with him. Then the end is going to come. The end of all things as we know it. But I want you to notice a couple of other things that are going to take place. Okay? Look at what he says here. The end will come, all right, when he hands over the kingdom of God, to God the Father, all right? So when the end comes, all right, then he's going to hand over the kingdom to God the Father. All right? And after he has destroyed all dominion, all authority, and all power. Okay? Well, wait a minute. Let's stop and think for a moment. What dominion, authority, and power is he talking about here? Well, we go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, where Paul talks about the spiritual warfare. And look at what he says. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So it's not a physical warfare. He says, but it is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. All right, so that's the dominion, the power, and the rule that Paul is talking about. Let's go back over there, okay? He's destroyed all dominion and authority and power. And look at verse 25, the next part. He says, for he must reign until... Okay, now, wait a minute. Let's go back up for just a second. When he hands over the kingdom to God. Here's an important part. We need to make sure we don't miss this. For those, and we've talked about this previously, those who are teaching that when Christ comes back again, he's going to set up his kingdom and reign here on earth for 1,000 years. No, wait a minute. He already has his kingdom. Okay? Because it's when he comes back, when the end comes, is when he's going to do what? He's going to hand the kingdom over to the Father. What kingdom? The kingdom that he is presently reigning over. Okay? For he must reign until. So he's reigning right now. See, not going to be, well, he will reign when he comes back again and reign for 1,000 years. His kingdom is established and it's going on right now. Okay? Now, notice what it says here, all right? He reigns until what happens? He has put all his enemies under his feet. All right? He's going to reign until he puts all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. All right? Death still reigns, doesn't it? Okay? Death still reigns in both ways. Remember, in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Physically and spiritually. Death came into the world physically when they sin, and so we have death that we have to deal with today, don't we? Okay? But death also reigns spiritually in those who have still not given their life to Christ. So death is still reigning in this world. And it will reign. Okay? Until it is destroyed by Christ. All right? The last enemy that he has to destroy, he says, is death itself. All right? For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, when the Son himself, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him so that God may be all and in all. All right? Everything under his feet. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 1 and verse 13. To which of the angels did he ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? Okay? And then look at what he says in chapter 10 and verse 13. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Christ is reigning right now. Okay? He is at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and he is reigning over his kingdom, the church. And until that time comes, and we've talked about this through our other lessons, we don't know when that's going to be, right? Okay? When that time comes, then all of his enemies will be destroyed. And the last one to be destroyed is death. He is waiting for the time, all right, when all of his enemies will be made his footstool. Okay? Now, let's talk about what is referred to as the resurrection body. When these things take place, all right, there will be a resurrection body. We looked at this a little bit last time. Someone may ask, he says, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? All right? So we're going to have this resurrection that is going to take place. The dead in Christ are going to rise when? The dead in Christ are going to rise first, right? And then after that, those who are still alive in the Lord will be what? Taken up to meet him in the air to be with him forever. So this resurrection is going to take place for those who have already died physically. Their body is destroyed. All right? And those who are still alive, we get taken up. Well, we're going to have this body. What is it going to look like? What kind of body will it be? And a lot of people are curious about that. What am I going to look like? And I'm not sure that I want to look like this. Will I be thinner? You say, will I have less gray hair? Which one am I going to be in heaven? And people always ask me the question, it says, am I going to recognize my family, my loved ones? Okay? What are they going to look like? Well, the reality is we don't know what we're going to look like. Right? But what we do know is that we will have a new spiritual body. All right? Look at what he says. How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. So whatever kind of body we're going to have, it will be one that God has determined it to be. All right? So I don't think we have to worry about what it's going to look like, since God's the one who's going to determine what it will be to begin with. Okay? But he's going to determine that. And he goes on to say, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh, he says, is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. And then he says, there are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. So there are heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. Okay, now, whether you are talking about the physical body that we have now versus the spiritual body we will have, okay, and I think it applies there, but it also can very easily, and many people say, yeah, this is what he's talking about, is that it applies to the bodies of the heavens, okay, the sun, the moon, the stars, those are heavenly bodies, and each of them has their own kind of splendor. And then there are earthly bodies, that is, you know, the earth itself, the mountains, the waters, the seas, the rivers, the hills, the grass, the trees, all of those are earthly bodies, and they all have their own splendor. But keep in mind, where'd they all come from? God made them all, right? And he's the one that gave them the splendor that they have, you see? And it is God who's going to give us the new body that we will have with whatever splendor he has decided for it to have, okay? He goes on to say, beginning in verse 42, So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. In other words, it's sinful. Okay? It's a sinful, physically, in this world we live in, it is a sinful, corrupted body. All right? But it is, he says, raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And so there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We have a natural body right now. Okay? A natural body, physical body. What we will have will be a spiritual body. All right? In verses 45 through 49, he says, "So also it is written, the first man, Adam, right, he became a living soul. And the last Adam became a life-giving spirit." So here's a contrast that he's making between the physical and the spiritual, specifically between Adam and his descendants, which is who? Usins, okay? Again, usins and weans and you and means, okay? We have a life-giving soul, okay? But Christ, who is the last Adam, has a life-giving spirit. He's the one who gives life. All right? However, he says, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. Then the spiritual. The first man, who is Adam, okay, is from the earth, or he is earthly. The second man is from heaven. As is the earth, so also are those who are earthly. Get this thing to work here, okay? All right, there's the physical component, basically, is what he's saying. All right, and though we're from the earth, in other words, we're physical in nature, all right? And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. All right, so there's a big difference between the physical and the spiritual. And look at what he says in the last thing here. Just as we have been born in the image of the earthly, in other words, we have this physical body, that is, by the way, we saw a moment ago, corruptible, right? It is steeped in sin. He says, we also bear the image of the heavenly. I like that. Okay? Why? Because what it says is, we get to be like him. In other words, we're not always going to be stuck in this physical body. Okay? We're not always going to be stuck here. We get a heavenly body when we are more like him. And now let's talk about the final victory. Okay? Now, we go back to our study that we did on Revelation, and we talk oftentimes to remind you about the theme of the book of Revelation. Okay? Help me out here. What does it say? First of all, things are bad, right? And secondly, they're going to get worse, right? Okay, but then the victory is assured in the end, right? We have a victory that is promised to us. And that's what we were talking about in our class, our study on Ephesians this morning. Okay, we look forward to the promised victory that we have in Christ Jesus. When is that victory going to come to us? When the Lord comes back again. Okay, it is victory in Jesus. We go on to verses 50 and 52 of 1 Corinthians 15. Look at what he says. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So this physical body that you and I have cannot go to heaven. All right? It cannot inherit that. All right? Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, he says, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That is, and we saw this in our study last time. All right, we shall not all sleep refers to a death. We will not all physically die, okay? But we shall all be changed, okay? So what that means is, again, you don't get to take this body with you when you leave here. Whether you die before the Lord comes back and you're raised first, or whether you're still alive when he comes, you don't get to take this body with you when you go. All right? We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. When is that going to happen? Notice what he says next. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So again, it's going to happen very fast, right? We're not going to have time to be thinking about it. Go, wait a minute, let me get my house in order. It's going to happen in the blink of an eye. And then look at what he says next. It will happen when? At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Doesn't that sound a whole lot like what we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? You say, the dead in Christ will be raised first, and after that, those who are still alive in the Lord will be taken up to meet him. The dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When is that going to happen? At the last trumpet. All right? He goes on to say, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, he's talking about the change from the physical to the spiritual body. All right? When that happens, and when is it going to happen? At the last trumpet. Okay? When the Lord comes back again. All right? He says, when that happens, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in, say it with me, victory. There it is again. Victory. We have victory in the coming of Christ Jesus. Okay? O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Okay? That's when he conquers death completely. That last enemy that is to be destroyed is what? Death. All right? Therefore. Now, I like that word, therefore. We have to remember, therefore is a word that fits in between two ideas, right? And what it's doing is it's taking the second idea, in other words, that's coming, and it applies it to that which he has just said. So keeping in mind all these things he's just said about when the Lord comes back again, the trumpet sounds, and this corruptible is changed to incorruptible, this mortal to immortality, and death is finally defeated. Okay? All of those things, he says, therefore, and he gives us three things that we need to consider and keep in mind. He says, first of all, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Okay? Stand firm. Don't let someone push you around in your faith, especially Satan. Stand firm. Okay? The second thing is, let nothing move you. Okay? Let nothing move you. Again, don't let anybody come and move you. And I think more than anything, that is the idea of moving you from your faith to something else. Okay? Let nothing move you. And then look at the third thing. Always. Always. Okay? When is excluded from, is anything excluded from always? In other words, is there any time when we don't have to do this? And the answer to that is no. Not if we're saying always, okay? And what is it that we're supposed to be making sure we're doing always? Is give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Not halfway, not half-hearted, not a little bit, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but always fully. Give yourself to the work of the Lord. Why? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What you are doing to serve the Lord is not going to be wasted. Okay? You don't have to worry about whether or not what He has promised is going to take place. You don't have to worry about whether what you're doing is for nothing. Thus, all of His talk about the resurrection. Okay? If there is no resurrection, then it is for nothing. But since He has promised us the victory, then what we are doing, our work in the Lord, is not wasted. It is not in vain. Okay? Why? Because, again, the victory is assured. It is a victory that is based on the promise of God, not on anything that we have done, but on what He has accomplished for us on our behalf. In conquering death, okay, the victory is assured to those who belong to Him. So, there's a warning. Jesus is coming back. Most important question is, are you ready? It's not a question of if. All right? It's only a question of when. And we've already discussed that issue. Since we don't know when, we need to be ready. Help me out here. All the time. Okay? Because He is coming back. Now, next week we're going to look at some things that really address that whole question that people have is, where is He? Okay? We're going to talk about what Peter has to say about the coming of the Lord. All right? But for right now, think about this new resurrection that we have waiting for us. This victory in Christ Jesus that He has won for us. A new body that we get to look forward to. Right? A resurrected spiritual body in Christ Jesus. One that will never hurt. It'll never get sick. It'll never be in any kind of trouble or problem. You'll never get achy joints or anything else. Okay? You don't have to worry about growing old because you'll live for eternity with Him. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. Okay? That sounds good to me. And that's what we have to look forward to if we belong to Him. Now, Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And so while we do this, we give opportunity for anyone that is here this morning with us. If you have some prayer request or a need that we can address this morning, you'd like us to do that, then all you got to do is let us know. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone who'd like to come up. Dale will be in the back. If there's somebody that would like to have a prayer or a private prayer or conversation with him, he'll be back there to receive you. All you got to do is just let us know, whatever it is. If there's somebody here who's not yet a Christian and desires to become one, then all you got to do is let us know that. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now, this morning. For those of you who are worshiping with us online this morning, if you have a prayer request that you would like for us to address, then the phone number for Dale and Wesley will be on the screen below the songs. You can text either one of them while we're doing this song and give them your prayer request, and we will address that. If there's anyone out there who is not yet a Christian that desires to become a Christian, then the same thing applies to you. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then call upon Him as your Lord and repent of your sins, and you can have those sins washed away in baptism as soon as is possible for you to get in touch with us and let us know that that's what you desire, and we will make it happen today if that works for you. Whatever your need is, we can't help you with it if we don't know what it is. So we offer this opportunity for anyone to let us know. So Tom, come on.